And our first speaker is Marlo G. from St. Louis.
Hey family, I'm Marlo Manette. Oh, I'm nervous, but I'm supposed to be. I'm nervous because the message saved my life. I'm talking about this morning. The message saved my life this morning. I could have used today. I could have used on my way into this meeting, but I didn't. And that's why I'm nervous. Sometimes we forget that. I'm grateful, man, because everybody in here could have been asked to do this. But my number was up. And so for whatever reason, like, it's my turn. And I'm not one that runs to the podium or runs from it either, because my debt to God is too big for me to run away and say no. But I also know I live with this thing. You know, as a matter of fact, the disease has been the worst boyfriend I've ever had, but it's hard for me to quit him. And so I hung in there. You know, I hung in there, man. And I'm the disease is talking to me. Because, see, I want you to know I plan on having a good time. It's my turn. When it's your turn, you do what you do. But I'm going to have a good time. Because, like, my disease say, you should have wore red. Because red would have made the message pop. Because it's relentless. You know, like, it's going to mess with me even right now. Because I'm in the middle of doing God's business, and however this go down is how he intended. Trust and believe that. Because if Marlo was in the way, everybody in here be hot. I'm just saying. I'd have been the first one. But because this ain't my business I'm handling right now, members. This is God's business. And sometimes we get it twisted. So like it really ain't about me, and what you think when I leave ain't none of my business. My responsibility is to carry the message to Narcotics Anonymous like it was carried to me. So I'm grateful, man. Because, like, even more so now, since I've been in this room, I've had the opportunity to have new family pray for me. So I love y'all. I got Philly family I met coming in because I needed somebody to pray with me. And I said, pray with me. Come on. And she was like, me? You know, like, she said it like I would. Like, I'm a heathen. You want me to pray? Yeah, because I know God here to heathens. Here we are. I really want to thank this region, man, for taking, I don't want to say a chance on me, but trusting God, you know, on all the speakers that are sharing, you know, because they're taking that same chance that we take repeatedly because it's our experience that helps each other. You know, I asked the young lady, I said, why'd you choose to come to this workshop, loving me and loving you and losing me? And she said, oh, why'd I come? I'm like, yeah. You know, because y'all expect to be entertained and all that shit. You want to cry and laugh. I know. Ain't no guarantees in none of that. But I promise you'll leave up out of here clean, out of this room clean. Now, where you go when you get in the hallways, it ain't my business. But the truth is, we come here seeking identification. And that's how we stay, you know, because the moment y'all get recovered up, I'm going to have to go. Because I just do it every day, all day long in that day. You know, some days are harder than others to stay clean. You know, I think about my journey in this process, and I want to thank my St. Louis family that's here. Yes, I do. I really want to thank them for coming because it's about 17 of us up here, and we came. If nothing else, we came to be together. I was up cooking dressing this morning, like at the crack of dawn, because we're going to eat together. You know, that's what we do. We bind and eat and love all on each other. And I want to thank a man for putting up with me. You know, sometimes we forget that the membership in our area, you know, every time you hear somebody say, keep coming back, yeah, they talking to you. All of you, the good, the bad, the ugly. And sometimes I don't want to be with me, so I know I can be intolerable, but they love me not in spite of me, because of me. That's a literature hit. That's the first tradition. loving you and losing me. Y'all thought I was going to talk about the men, didn't you? Because in here, it ain't never about them. It's always about me. I was taught that if you talking about somebody other than you, you ain't talking about nothing no way. I can't never come up in here and do none of this and fix you in the process. I got to come up in here, do this to fix me. I was in every one of them relationships. I want you to know I liked all of them. See ya. Wait a minute. One of my spicy sisters says unto me this morning, like, I didn't know you dated so-and-so. I didn't pick him to be your kind of fella. I was like, really? I was like, wow. I thought he wasn't your caliber dude. I was like, wow. So who that make me? You know, because I'm trying to figure it out. Like, how you qualifying this shit? Because I don't know if you got them messed up or you got me messed up. Because we are like, you all will be my kind of fella if the circumstances is right. I'm just saying. For the point checker, I've made you laugh. I don't know about the crying part. Because I plan to have, you know, the life that this program assured me. And they told me I could be happy, joyous, and free. And so, like, I'm living in the freedom of my recovery, man. I'm living in the freedom of my God. So, like, I can stand here today and I can talk to you about the hymns of my life. I can do that for the one that needs identification, for the one that needs to hear me talk about stalking. You know, if that's you, I got you. I don't want to have you in front of a room full of people, but I got you. You know? If you need me to talk about going down there to the middle of the project in Centerville, and wait, y'all don't even know where Centerville is, but I promise you got it in your city too. And standing out there, wait a minute, with 2 college degrees, hollering up at the project windows, telling her, you know, send my man up out of there because she up in there. And I'm out here with the college degrees, and he in there because he want to be, but I can't realize because he want to be up in there. Is y'all don't hear me, Frank? And it makes sense to spray paint the Lion King on the side of your car in my paint. Yeah. I got material for the topic. You know, if you're the one who I'll progress you, because I don't want to take you all there. I really want to get to the recovery part. Because a lot of the losing me, man, it wasn't pre-recovery. Like, you know what I'm saying? A lot of stuff went down in recovery. I'm talking about after the dope is gone. After I'm here, you know, and it's going on. So, like, when you fuck my sponsor, can I say fuck? Can I go? Because I'm like, I'm going to need to say thank you for letting me share if I can. Me and God working on some stuff, but we ain't really working on substance right now. We got some more important things to work on to keep y'all safe and me alive. So, when it come down to it, you know, like, man, the loving you and losing me, because I live with a disease, man, and it's insidious. So even though you fucking my sponsee and they fucking you back, it tell me, you know what, stay in it just to show her she ain't got nothing and you can have her. Who got the most time? Who got the quality of recovery? But see, my disease still thinks like that. I'll show her. It's the same disease that also said go in the meeting and share all over their ass and call their names out loud. So, wait a minute. So they can't recover where we all got to be. And I thank God for sponsorship for anybody who struggles with sponsorship and say crazy stuff like hire and fire and all that old mess. Man, if anybody willing to deal with your raggedy ass, you need to say thank you. For real. See, because I know what it feels like to want to get out of the car and leave me in it. Or to be in it by myself and feel like it's too many of us. I know what that feels like. So I thank thank God for my sponsor, because it's that same sponsor that helped me to say, Marla, you won't go in the meeting. You won't let your defects take you in there and share all over them people. So after the meeting, you can have all them conversations that start with, girl, I can't believe, girl, oh my God, that happened, girl. Do you really want to invite everybody into your pain like that? That they can constantly prick you. Not because we malicious and we hateful and we just who we are. You know, and sometimes we just want to break from our own self. So thank God it's your turn to be on the hot spot. Oh, Jesus. I mean, I don't want you to be going through, but I'm just glad to have the heat off my back. Because that's who we are. I said, so you don't think I should share? She said, your defects don't work like you get to hurt other people. And then you don't have to hurt somewhere in the process. See, like, even though it looked good, and it looked like a master plan, and I'm brilliant. So every plan I've ever had was a master plan. In my mind. Even when I was getting high, like in my mind, like, shh, this is it. This is it right here. This is the one. I cracked me up. Y'all don't even have to be with me. But it made sense when I thought it to myself. Like all that pain, because that loving you and losing me. Let me talk about the you and the loving you. See, for real, the disease is the you for me. I'm talking about being in a relationship that I couldn't come out. I had to meet all y'all, and y'all had to push me out. You know, it's like labor. You know, like y'all gave birth, man, to the life I'm living today. Yeah, because I didn't even like y'all. And y'all loved on me anyway. And said to me, we will. Because you knew I didn't know nothing about loving me. What I knew about was obsession and compulsion. I didn't even know what the heck to call it. I didn't know what to call it. It was the way. It was the way the people that I knew. It was the way they did shit. Your man screwing her, beat her ass. And keep right on. Wait a minute. Entertaining the source of your allergy. Yeah, what's making you sick? And I'm still not talking about him. I'm talking about the thing that would say, stay with him. When it hurts. Look, I'm telling you about loving you and losing me. And I'm going to talk about this disease, man. Because, like, for real, you know, You got to, at some point, if you want some relief, you've got to be willing to follow the suggestions of the program. And you got to be willing to work the steps. And you do that for you. Other people benefit. But you do that for you. Because you could be walking around up in here and be the walking damn dead, and that's your choice. You don't have to be, though. You know, you don't have to be sitting in your chair right now and want to drink a cup of bleach and too scared to tell the person next to you that came with you the pain you in. But I know all that, so I just keep talking about Marlo. I just keep talking about me. I don't have to worry about y'all. I told you I got enough material for the topic. See, the reality of things is that I live with this disease, and because I have some very deep-rooted defects, unless I'm going to get to the place where I'm willing to deal with me, I ain't never going to get better. It ain't even going to be my sponsor's fault, because I'm responsible for my recovery. So ain't no point in me talking about what she didn't do, wasn't said, all that, whatever. Cut it out. That's nonsense. You know, and I ain't got no time. I ain't got no time for that. You know, thinking about how my defects, how they ruled my life. I had to get here for you all to tell me that this disease had the power to turn me into somebody I didn't want to be. I thought it was something wrong with me. I'm talking about the person. God created everything up in here. But I thought this was the one mistake God had made. This was the one flawed thing God had made. Because everything he made was perfect and exactly what it's supposed to be. But I thought I was the one something that God had fouled up. But you told me that this disease had the power to turn me into somebody I didn't want to be. You mean to tell me I don't want to be the chick on the side, even though I've been willing to be her? Even though I didn't been able to get all right with being her? Look, let me tell you. This is for the ladies. Me and y'all already know this. Pound for pound, every man like a fat girl. Yeah, I'm telling the secret, guys, because I was the secret for too long. It's out. If you struggle with you, sister, believe you struggling with you, because they'll be your boyfriend by night. And you're right, no, Marla, that's a whole nother topic. You know, for a long time, man, I allowed myself to be carried that way. And I wanted to blame you. You know what I'm saying? I allowed myself to be carried that way. I'm still talking about me in recovery. I ain't talking about me before recovery. Before recovery, I was the boss. I sold it all. And I ain't had no broker or nothing like that. What you got from me, I sold. Yeah. I'm talking about being in a thing and being in a relationship and being allowing yourself to be carried like a secret. I ain't good enough to be with myself. So being with you is all I got. Anybody in here ever prayed that sugar to shit prayer? God, send me a king, send me a prince, God, send me a great and wonderful man, and all that. And you wasn't shit for God to send nothing to? Because I prayed that prayer. And I kept wondering why God was sending the wrong them. But it wasn't the wrong them, it was the work that I needed to do over here. Because they prayed too. They not asking God to send them, the king is not asking God to send them to the court jester. You acting like a clown. What make you think God gonna bless them with a clown? Cause you praying for a king. You hear what I'm saying? See, I knew where I was at. I knew that I was willing to be, I'm telling you, I was willing to be all that. What is that? Everything you thinking of right now? Really, that mean that you didn't have to beat me into submission into that. Most of the dark places I ever went in my life, I went on my own. Hey, how you get that? Now, that's the hard part. I had to come to grips with liking it. Like liking the pattern. Like always shopping in the bargain basement, man, for a mate. Because for real, I didn't believe that I deserved to shop on a different floor. And that had to do with who it is that I knew I was in my defects, but wasn't willing to do shit about. So if you ain't gonna change, I don't wanna sit up here and go get me a man off the premium floor. He'd be with me a few minutes and figure out I'm out the basement too, and then he don't want me and then he tell all y'all. So it's best for me to shop in the basement. You know, cause I told you I thought I was brilliant, so I believe I can fool you a little longer than you can fool me. And it ain't about, you know, nobody else. It's about the relationship we have with this disease and how it affects all the areas of our life. And about knowing that. It's about knowing that this disease is, wait a minute. If anything gonna affect your relationships in your life right now, you might have diabetes. Diabetes ain't gonna affect your relationship. Shit, you might have cancer. It is not gonna affect your relationships. Nothing like the disease of addiction will affect all your relationships. I'm talking about the ones with your mate, fuck with your kids, with your parents, with your family, with your employer. All your relationships will be affected by this disease. She's a terrible boyfriend, horrible girlfriend, cheats on you and all kinds of shit, with your permission. And sometimes we don't want to let it go. Well, why don't you want to work a fist at? Why don't you want to look and go searching and fearlessly for those defects that you got in? Why come you don't want to? Why you don't want to work the steps? Because I'm comfortable in the familiar pain. I'm comfortable in it. I know how to lay down with dogs, man. I'm comfortable in it. I'm scared to death of getting better. God might ask me to do something for him. He might put me out there in front of my peers and ask me to walk upright. But if I don't work on nothing, then I get to stay in the dark, man, where y'all can't judge me so harshly. He might thrust me out there where I'm sharing in front of you, and then the next time you see me, and I do what we do as human beings, make mistakes, bad choices, then you talk about me bad. I don't want that experience, so I'm just going to not do a whole bunch of working on nothing, because I don't need to leave myself subject to, you know, the care part. You know, our responsibility to each other members is to be loving and caring. Well, if it was the same thing, we'd say loving and loving, and caring and caring. It's different. Because even though we love each other, sometimes we mishandle each other. That's the care part. Yeah, because I can love you deeply and still do some real screwed up stuff in how I handle you. Okay. So I'm a girl from the Midwest. I'm from St. Louis, and we believe in the literature of Narcotics Anonymous. This is the It Works How and Why, for anybody who's wondering. Because I don't want you to think that this is all about my opinion. Everything else I just gave you is what it is. But I want you to understand why it is that I stay in Narcotics Anonymous and what that has to do with this topic. And so, like, in the beginning of this book, this is page 6, it starts to talk to us about obsession, and it says, obsession for us is a never-ending stream of thoughts relating to using drugs, running out of drugs, getting more drugs, and so on. Like being stuck, man. I want to get off the wheel, but I can't. Like right now, I just got what I said I wanted, had to have. I got it, and right now, I'm worried and looking about again and next time. Right then. I prayed, and God, I gave you the whole list. And you blessed me with everything on the list. And as soon as I got the last thing, man, here I come. Wait a minute, God, I got one more. One more. Yeah, because that's how obsession works. See, it tells me, you know what? What you should have did was this. But I don't have to be obsessed. Even though I suffer from a disease where that's a part of the root cause, I don't have to be stuck in the obsession of this disease. What I have to do is get into the process of working the steps. Because what I know follows obsession is compulsion. And that means that I'll keep right on acting, even when the pain comes. So I want to hand you something about that pain. It says, as we start to look at the effects of our disease, and this is in step one, we are sure that we see our lives have become unmanageable. But even when we see that unmanageability, many often times we just won't stop. We won't stop. Because see, I'm in the middle of trying to cover up what everybody sees. So I won't stop. Everybody know you our boyfriend. But I won't get out of the group. And I'll be mad at everybody else because they won't quit the group either. In the sixth step, it talks about how we address our defects. And it says our growing awareness of our defects often causes us pain. Yes, it is hard as hell for me to tell you my part in it. It's hard for me to get an acceptance with the hurt that I created in myself. I told you I can't talk about the hymns. They being who it is that they are. And you know what? Because many of them, I picked them for those defects. If they could help themselves, maybe they would. But they ain't in no better shape than me. Right now, I got the program, and my responsibility is to myself. So I need to go right here in the book, because the book ain't for them, about them. It's for me, about me. And yeah, it does hurt. It hurts to deal with yourself, because once you get hurt, you have to walk away from the denial and the reality of the denial. Last piece, same literature, sixth step, it says, when we honestly admit our wrongs, we find humility. That's how I can stand here in front of you and talk about me. I haven't hurt myself at all, period. I have not hurt myself in this room. I have not hurt myself, and I've not allowed my disease to take any of the stuff I just told you, man. I done been standing right here at a podium before, and I done been speaking. Go home and go back to the relationship and find a pair of hot pants on the side of my bed. And didn't catch a case? None of that. Because I ain't got to hurt me. Did I leave the relationship? Hell no, I ain't leaving. You pay every bill in this house. I'll rationalize why I stay. Even though I want to commit a crime. Then I turn around and get mad at God and say, God, I'm carrying the message. Why would you let that happen in my house while I'm out doing service work? God ain't got nothing to do with that. What God did for me was ask me why wasn't I willing to take the help he was offering me. You know how he said that to me? He gave that to me in a meeting. Because I couldn't sleep in my own bed or be in my own bedroom for days at a time, man, doing that. I was hurt. And I had another sister share at that very convention. I'm listening to her CD driving back up the highway. She shared the same message. I didn't know I was going to go back home and experience that. So you know what I did? I did what we talked to do. We talked to use and help each other. If you don't believe, man, that a recovering addict is the most powerful vehicle for carrying this message, I don't know what's wrong with you. But this is how we get help. Ain't nothing I said up here cute. I love this way of life and I love the membership, man. I'm so grateful. Become open-minded and allow it to help you. You know, you ain't got to still be hiding and ducking in the bushes. I did that. You know, you can love you. And if you ain't somebody that you can love yet, then this program give you a chance to become that person. Thanks for letting me share.